Chapter 7. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. Zarek, the dragon we'd captured, the one who had been terrorizing Lady, was the brother of Zoclan, and potentially my uncle.
Evan?
Aliona gasped and reached out to grasp my sleeve.
Did he just say the name I thought he did?
Yes, I whispered with a grim nod. But don't let him know I know who he is, okay? I want to play things close to the chest for now. My wife's amethyst eyes were filled with worry, but she nodded to show that she understood. I turned back to the dragon, who I currently had trapped in a truth-revealing spell, and scowled. Then I snapped my fingers and the tendrils of bluish-green magic evaporated in a flash, like fog blown away by a fan. Zarek collapsed onto his knees and spat out a mouthful of blood as he gagged and tried to reclaim his breath.
What the fuck did you just do to me?
He demanded, as his yellow eyes locked with mine, and the look on his face told me he'd have killed me right then and there if he could have. I showed you what a pussy dragon can do, I taunted. And that's just scratching the surface of my powers, you know. If you don't keep yourself in line, you're going to quickly find out there's a lot more where that came from.
Wonderful, Zarek spat. So I'm essentially doomed to stay in human form forever. And I am to act as the servant to Hotra's Dracha?
That all depends on how you behave, I shrugged. And I'm not making you serve the Dracha. I'm going to lock you up with the Blue Tree Guild, where I put all my important prisoners. Now, I think we're going to let you get a little bit of rest before we take you back. I want to give you plenty of time to think about your decisions.
What of my brothers? Zarek demanded. Are you just going to leave them here to rot?
They'll be taken to my father's temple,
Aliona interjected,
where they will face justice for all of the crimes they've committed against our kingdom.
Then they are as good as dead.
The dragon's face fell into a deep frown.
Maybe they shouldn't have fucked with innocent people, I growled. Let's go, before I decide to use my other magic on this asshole.
Zarek simply laid back down on the bed of straw and stared up at the ceiling as the four of us walked away. But I could hear him muttering something illegible under his breath.
So, that's him, right?
Aaliyah asked once we were far enough away.
Your uncle?
Maybe, I reminded them all. We don't know if Zoclan is really my father or not. Raheel just thinks it might be a possibility since we seem so alike.
But you're nothing like that dragon,
Aliona said as she frowned and cupped her belly.
You're much more caring and kind. Not some sort of mindless monster who exists to do nothing but pillage.
Yeah, that part is definitely not lining up, I sighed. There's no way I'm related to an asshole like that. If Zoclan really was my father, and his personality was anything like Zarek's, then maybe it was a good thing I'd never known the guy.
I suppose Raheel will be able to tell us for sure,
Sky suggested.
Though it might be difficult to keep it secret while also trying to get information out of your uncle.
We can figure all this out later, I grumbled as I rubbed the sides of my head. Right now, I just want to get back to the task at hand. We need to try and rebuild Lady. And we need to figure out where the Sword of Shadows really is. We continued on until we came to the stairs of the dungeon, which we promptly used to exit the dark, dank space. Calvin, Nike, and the rest of my friends were all present in the main hall as we arrived, and Ravi was the first to notice us.
There's Lord Evan,
Ravi declared as she pointed to me.
Lord Evan, Calvin said with a bow. Thank goodness we found you. I believe there may be an intruder in this castle.
An intruder? I frowned as my hands clenched into fists. What makes you say that?
One of my nobles tried to get into his room, the old man explained, but it was locked from the inside. Then he claimed that when he finally was able to get inside, everything was strewn about as if someone had been inside.
I turned back to Aaliyah, Aliona, and Skye, and the four of us exchanged an amused glance. Then I looked back at Calvin and placed a hand on his chest. I'll look into it, I lied. But I'm sure it's nothing. Trust me on this one. I bet that noble is just experiencing a classic case of misunderstanding.
Are you sure? Calvin asked once more. How can we be positive?
Nokomis's eyes narrowed as she stared me down, and then her face fell into a frown. The snow leopard demi-human was the holder of the Sword of Mercy, which allowed her to sense people's emotions at any given moment. I was sure she knew I was uncomfortable in lying, and I bet she was trying to figure out exactly why. Meanwhile, Nike seemed to understand exactly what had happened. The noble of the Sword of Light tilted his head to the side as his silver eyes widened mischievously. He then shook his head and mouthed a silent, surprised, "No," to me behind his grandfather's back. "Because," I continued to lie, "we've dealt with all sorts of intruders before and the pattern doesn't match up. Why would somebody with ill intentions only mess up the bed?"
"I suppose that..."
"Wait," Calvin stroked his beard.
"I never mentioned anything about the bed being disheveled. How did you know that?"
"Just call it a hunch," I chuckled. And when I looked over to the rest of my friends, they all wore knowing smiles. "You're perfectly safe here, Calvin. You'll be even safer once I take the dragon back to Hatra with me."
"Will he be joining the other heathens in the airship?"
Lyca asked as her silver ears perked up.
"Piotr will enjoy having a new prisoner."
"That's the idea," I confirmed. "I don't know what you want to do with the rest of the Gray Scabbard, though."
"They cannot stay here," Calvin scoffed. "They have caused quite enough damage, and I do not wish to run the risk of them escaping and doing it again. If it were up to me, I would have all of their heads on pikes by tomorrow's light. But I understand that is not for me to decide."
"They can go to the White Jade Temple, then. King Rodion will be just with his rulings, I am sure." "Lord Devon?" Nike suddenly cleared his throat.
I know we have much to do so we can close the breach, but I was wondering, well, about Leyte, the damage in particular."
"Nike," I said in my most matter-of-fact voice, and then I walked over to the noble and placed my arm around his shoulders. "Do you truly think I would allow my brother's home to be razed and not do a single thing about it? The second we get back to Hatra, I'm going to send all available craftsmen to Leyte via portal so they can get right to work on building it back up to what it once was."
"Thank you, brother,"
Nike said, as tears filled his silver eyes.
"Words cannot express how much that means to me." "You have my thanks as well, Lord Devon,"
Calvin bowed.
"And you will have even more once those ruffians are out of my city."
"I'll deal with that right now, actually," I said. And then I summoned a messenger dragon into my open palm. "Deliver a message to King Rodion. Tell him we have a large group of Gray Scabbard gang members captured here in Leyte, and we are in need of a prisoner transport to the White Jade Temple. Once the prisoners are in the king's possession, they can be dealt with however he pleases." The little silver dragon squeaked before it leapt into the air and disappeared with a flash.
"We should be on our way then,"
Aliona suggested.
"The city and the prisoners will be in good hands, Lord Calvin."
"Then I guess that means we'll need to go grab the asshole downstairs," I sighed. "Nike, who has the keys to his cell?"
"I do," the noble said.
Nike headed off toward the dungeon, and Calvin, my friends, and I all followed close behind. Once we were in front of Zarek's cage, Nike pulled out a set of keys from his pocket, slid one into the prison door, and turned it with a metallic clank. I instantly summoned my stone magic to create a long tendril from the nearby wall, which snatched the dragon up off the ground.
"Hey!" Zarek snarled. "Seriously, you think I'm going to try and run away?"
"It crossed my mind," I retorted with a shrug. "I'm not going to take any chances, which is why I'm going to have Lyca here go through the portal first and make sure you don't try anything stupid."
"The princess has an enchantment over me," Zarek said with a roll of his eyes. "I wouldn't get far."
Aliona stepped into the room, and then she lowered her head and began to whisper her portal summoning incantation. Before long, the prison cell lit up with a blinding white light, and a swirling portal of pure energy appeared before us all. Right on cue, Lyca was the first one through the magical doorway, followed by Nokomis. "I'll send workers the second I get back," I explained to Calvin. "And I'm sure King Rodion will be in contact soon."
"Thank you, Lord Devon,"
Calvin smiled.
"And thank you, grandson."
"Stay safe, grandfather," Nike said, before he gave his grandfather a bow. Then Nike disappeared through the portal next, followed by Ravi, Aaliyah, and Sky. All right, we're up. I used the rocky tendril to move Zarek over to the portal, and then I hauled it back and tossed him through like I was throwing a baseball. Once he had disappeared into the magical doorway, Aliona stepped through, and I was right behind her. We appeared back in Hatra, right in the middle of the town square. Zarek was laying in the dirt with an unamused expression while Laika and Nokomis both had their swords drawn and pointed right at his throat.
I think you both need to calm down, the dark-haired dragon grumbled to his captors. I'm not going anywhere.
Yes, you are,
Laika said, before she sheathed her sword and then helped the dragon to his feet.
You're going to the airship. I'll come along, too,
Nokomis offered,
just in case he tries anything foolish on the way.
The snow leopard demihuman took Zarek's other arm, and then she and Laika hauled him off toward the Blue Tree Guild's airship. Meanwhile, I filled in the rest of my friends on our little discovery about the dragon's identity. We need to talk to Raheel, I noted. He's the one who knew Zarek and Zoclan, so he'll want to talk to the prisoner for sure.
We should certainly tell your father and mother as well, my love,
Aliona suggested.
And my own.
No, I shook my head. I want to keep this close to my vest, remember? I'm only going to tell those on a need-to-know basis. Alerting your father would probably just cause needless worry. And I don't want my parents to think I'm going to ditch them and go off looking for my biological father. For now, it stays between the people in this circle and Raheel, okay?
If that is your wish, brother, Nike nodded, then I shall tell nobody.
I summoned another messenger dragon into my palm before I leaned in to deliver my verbal note. Go to the Draha, Raheel, I said to the little guy. Tell him we have Zarek captured and locked up in the Blue Tree Guild's airship, and that I want to keep this on the down low.
What does on the down low mean?
Sky asked. Right, I chuckled as I remembered nobody understood Earth slang here. Scratch that last part. Tell Raheel I don't want anybody else to know. Nobody. The silver messenger nodded, and then he evaporated into a blip of silver magic.
What shall we do now, Lord Evan?
Aaliyah asked as she popped one of her hips out to the right. We need to find the Sword of Shadows, I explained, and I tried to shove Zarek to the back of my thoughts, since we had more pressing matters at hand. We know where it is, right? Or at least the noble who should have it?
According to your map, the noble is currently in the city of Pashar, Nike explained.
Then that's where we'll go, I said with a nod. I want every noble of the sword we have in this city to come along with me on this one.
What about non-nobles?
Aaliyah frowned. We don't know much else about the Sword of Shadows, I continued. It's going to be a very dangerous mission, so I'll need our most powerful magic users to come along. Everybody else needs to be here to protect Hatra and to help rebuild Lady.
That doesn't sound intriguing,
the lioness sighed.
But I guess you're right.
I'll let Nokomis know when she returns, I said, as I looked around at my friends. Obviously, if I was taking nobles of the sword along on this journey, that meant Nike was coming. Likewise, Sky and Nokomis should come along, since they were connected to the Sword of Youth and the Sword of Mercy, respectively. I briefly considered calling upon Callan and Mael, though they would be tricky to pull away from their homes. Callan was now in charge of the city of Atmos, and Mael was off in the forest of Afur somewhere, leading his pack of Tunglians. Still, it was worth a shot, as we needed every noble we could find. I sent a messenger dragon off to both of the men, as well as to Amin, Salone, and Redmond. I told them we would be heading off to Pashar as soon as possible to find the Sword of Shadows, and that their help would almost certainly be needed for this adventure. If they chose to accompany me on this journey, I told them they would need to meet us on the nethermost coast of Pashar, and that was where the map claimed the sword was located. The messenger dragons disappeared one by one, and then we were left to figure out the rest of the plan. We all went into the dining hall and enjoyed some of Forsyth's delicious cooking as we awaited the return of Nokomis and Laika. Sure enough, about half an hour later, the two women came strutting up with their arms interlocked. Did you get him delivered? I asked with a raised eyebrow.
My grandfather seemed very nervous at the prospect of holding a dragon in his airship,
Laika admitted.
Though he also said he was up for the challenge.
Speaking of being up for the challenge, I trailed off, and then I explained the mission to our friends.
And I cannot come along?
Lyca frowned, and her gray wolf ears flattened against her head like a sad puppy. It's too dangerous, I repeated. Nobles of the sword only, I'm afraid. I could tell Lyca wasn't thrilled with my answer, but it was the only way. Amin, Salone, and Redmond had talked about the Sword of Shadows as if it were some sort of ancient relic that would make even the most sane of its possessors go mad, and the last thing I wanted was to lead all my lovers straight into a deadly situation. We finished up our meals, and then we all ventured back out into the courtyard of the Lunar Palace and prepared for the long journey to Peshawar. I quickly transformed into my dragon form and then knelt down so my friends could climb up onto my back. Skye climbed up to a spot between my shoulder blades, where she promptly clung on tightly. Nike and Nokomis were next, and the silver-eyed man showed a bit of chivalry as he helped Nokomis up onto my back first before he hopped on and held on tightly.
"Good luck, my love,"
Aliona whispered into my ear as she scratched my chin softly.
"Come back to me soon."
"I will," I promised. "We shall return, and we will return with the noble of the Sword of Shadows." With that, I crouched down, sprang up into the air, and flapped my wings as I took off toward our destination. The three nobles clung on for dear life as we soared over the desert of Rama, then over the jungles, and even over a few mountainous areas of the country. Eventually, I saw the cool blue of the ocean as it stretched out before us, and I knew our destination was not far off. As I flew, I couldn't help but wonder about the situation back home. If Zarek really was my uncle, then why was he so drastically different from all the other dragons we'd met? He came from the same Draha, and had a very similar life before he went off on his own. So where was he getting this bullshit idea that dragons only existed to be unholy creatures of terror and destruction? And even more important, would I ever be able to break him of his ideals like I had with Valera? "This is the spot, brother," Nike proclaimed, as he pointed down to a small cottage-like house that rested on the beach. "I believe this is where our noble of the sword is located." Whoever this person was, I didn't want to freak them out by landing right on their doorstep and barging into their home. That was why I told the other nobles of the sword to meet me on the northernmost section of the beach, so we could regroup and try to formulate a plan before we ran headlong into a corrupted noble with a cursed sword. I hovered over to the meeting spot and then gently landed on the sands of the beach with a soft thud. As my three friends slid off my back, I looked around and absorbed just how beautiful everything was in this part of Peshawar. The sands were as white as the driven snow, with bits of glittery stone sprinkled throughout, along with the seashells of creatures I was not familiar with. The waves of the pristine blue ocean crashed against the shoreline in loud yet soothing motions as the setting sun in the sky illuminated the beach around us. Just off in the distance, I could see what appeared to be hundreds of marble structures spread across a hilly, vine-covered countryside. And I assumed this was the actual city of Peshawar itself.
"What now, Evan?"
Nokomis asked as she stared off into the ocean. "We set up camp and wait," I explained to the snow leopard demi-human. "We cannot take on the Sword of Shadows alone. I just hope the other nobles answer my call."
"I don't see why they wouldn't,"
Skye said with a shrug.
"You have gained their loyalty in some way or another, and they claim they would come to your aid if you asked."
"We just have to give them enough time to get here," I chuckled. "If they got my message when I sent it, then the earliest most of them could be here is tomorrow morning. Besides, I kind of want to get a bit of shut-eye after the crazy day we just had."
"That sounds good to me," Nike nodded. "I'll go collect stones and wood for a fire."
As the noble began to scout the beach and the surrounding area, I reached into my spatial storage and pulled out a couple of blankets that I'd stored for such an occasion. Though I normally use the pocket dimension for keeping my hoard and my weapons, I realized pretty quickly it could also be used as a catch-all for anything that we might need while traveling, and it was much more convenient than carrying around a satchel or a heavy backpack everywhere we went. "It's a nice night out," I said to the two beautiful women on either side of me. "I don't think we need a tent or anything, especially if we have the fire to keep us warm."
"We'll also have each other to keep warm,"
Sky giggled. That's true, I said with a half smirk. But not Nike. He's going to need something to keep him warm. Unless Mael decides to bring Shia along with him as a special surprise for the poor guy.
He really loved her, didn't he?
Nokomis mused.
I've never seen Nike at such a loss for words.
She must have truly given him something to remember.
Sky added with a sly smile. He earned it, I shrugged. Not every man in Rama can have harems like me. So if it turns out Shia is Nike's one and only, then I'm happy for him. I laid out the blankets around in a circle and then thought about how we were going to make the fire pit itself. We could have tried to venture up closer to the city, where there would surely be plenty of rocks for us to collect. But that sounded like way too much work. Instead, I simply called upon my stone magic and brought up a small tendril from the earth. I wrapped it around in a circle before I laid it flat on the sand, and then I brushed my hands off and clicked my tongue as I deactivated the spell. Piece of cake, I snorted.
You brought cake?
Nokomis gasped.
Please tell me it's Forsythe's wild berry chocolate cake.
It's an earth expression, I explained. It means that was easy.
So there's no cake?
Sky sighed with a teasing smile.
Disappointing, Lord Evan.
It wasn't long before Nike returned with several pieces of driftwood underneath his arms and lots of kindling sticking out of his pockets, and the noble of the Sword of Light built a makeshift wooden teepee inside of the stone circle before he tossed around the kindling inside at its base. The second the fire was ready to go, I opened up my mouth and blew a bit of white-hot flames down into the pit. The wood caught fire instantly, and the roaring flames crackled as they rose a few feet into the sky. Nike, Nokomis, Sky, and I all sat down on our blankets as we watched the flames before us, and before we knew it, the sun had completely set.
We should take turns standing guard, Nike explained. I think the fire alone will keep any unwanted creatures at bay, but that's not what I'm worried about.
What are you worried about, then?
Sky asked.
I'm more worried about the people it might attract, the noble said. We are pretty far away from the city or any other signs of civilization. But you never know.
I'll take the first watch, I said,
even though my words came out through a yawn.
You guys get some rest, okay?
My friends nodded, and then they laid down and covered up with their blankets. My 3-hour shift passed by without any incident. I just sat there in the darkness, and I listened to the fire crackling in the pit and the mighty waves of the ocean as they broke against the shore and fizzled back out into the abyss. The 3 moons hung in the sky above, and they illuminated the beach with their radiant glow. I counted the stars of the night sky, though I was fully aware that I didn't quite grasp all the constellations of this world yet. Soon I heard Sky yawn off to my left.
It's my turn,
the blue-skinned woman said as she ran her hand through my dark locks.
Get some sleep, Evan.
You won't need to tell me twice.
I yawned as I stood up and stretched my arms above my head. I wandered over to the empty blanket on the ground, plopped down into it, and covered up. My eyes closed the second I was wrapped in the blanket's warmth, and it didn't take long at all for the sounds of the ocean and warmth of the fire to lull me off to sleep. The next thing I knew, I felt the warm sun beating down on my face. My eyes popped open to the brightness of the day, and I could just barely make out a crowd of blurry figures a few feet up the beach. At first, my heart began to pound in my chest. Were we being watched? As I sprang to my feet, however, I realized who I was looking at. Amin, Salone, Redmond, Callan, and Mael. 5 more nobles of the sword had answered my call.
Good morning, Lord Evan,
Amin bellowed, as he threw his muscular arms out and smiled from ear to ear. The guy was still wearing his thick black fur coat, even though we were standing on the beach in the middle of the day. Sweat beaded across his forehead as a result, and his crescent moon tattoo was the only part of his face that wasn't flushed red from the heat. Next to him stood the bird demi-human Salone, whose black hair was slicked back and mixed in with the feathers that plumed from his head. His nose seemed even more crooked than usual, but that didn't matter. As long as the man could fight, I didn't care what he looked like. Redmond was all smiles as he stood there with his hands on his hips. The old man's wispy white hair blew around in the breeze, which reminded me of a bird's nest in a hurricane. The green dragon and noble of the Sword of Waning, Callan, stood there with his hands folded across his chest as he chatted with Nike. Callan was a fun person to be around, though I wondered if his mother's death and his new responsibilities as the Lord of Atmos had changed him since the last time we'd crossed paths. Either way, the green dragon was always somebody I wanted on my side in a pinch. Last but certainly not least was Mael. The Tunglian man was clad in nothing but a torn-up pair of brown shorts, though I was thankful he opted to wear clothes this time. The first time I'd met the Alpha Tunglian, he'd been completely naked, and that had been an awkward experience for everyone involved. Now he stood there with the Sword of Abundance dangling from his belt, and his wild, long brown hair fluttered around him completely unkempt. The Tunglian man reminded me of Forrest Gump when he went on his long run, and I couldn't help but chuckle as my mind made the comparison. "You all got my message," I grinned as I walked up to my friends.
"Of course, Lord Evan," Salone said. "I told you I would always be there if you needed me."
"As did I," Redmond nodded. "If you don't mind me asking, how is Caltrice doing?"
"She's doing wonderful," I explained. "My friend Naomi has taken Caltrice under her wing, and there's nobody in the world she could learn more from." Redmond's eyes grew a tad misty, but the old man simply shook it off and cleared his throat.
"That is good to hear," he said. "I hope to come and visit her soon."
"She would like that," I confirmed, and then I turned to Mael. "And you came all this way? I thought you didn't want to leave your pack."
"I don't plan to stay long," Mael said through a bit of a grumble. "If you have located the noble, then this should not be too difficult of an adventure."
"I wouldn't say that, my friend," Amin warned. "The Sword of Shadows makes its holder go mad with its power. For all we know, we might be headed straight toward a confrontation with a mad sage."
"Then we'll kill him and take the sword,"
Mael smiled and bared his sharp canines.
"No problem."
"We'd best get moving then," Nike announced. "Everyone is here, and I know Lord Evan doesn't want to waste any time."
My brother-in-arms was right. The last thing I wanted to do was drag out this quest for the Sword of Shadows, especially since I now had the whole Zarek thing to attend to. "With the nine of us together," I proclaimed, "nothing stands a chance." My friends helped me to quickly pack our things back into my spatial storage, and then we began down the beach toward the cottage that contained our noble. The journey took 45 minutes on foot, though I figured it was well worth it for the simple element of surprise. The cottage looked like something ripped straight from a textbook on ancient Greece. It was a single-story structure made completely out of white stone, with a doorway that was nothing more than a simple arch with no actual door. A cobblestone chimney pumped sweet-smelling smoke out into the air, while the open windows of the cottage all had small trinkets lining their windowsills. There was a simple wooden rocking chair beside the doorway, pointed out at the beautiful view of the ocean. This certainly didn't look like the dwelling of a person who'd gone mad.
"Proceed with caution, Lord Evan," Amin whispered. "Things seem too quiet."
I gave the noble a nod before I took a deep breath, drew the Sword of Hatra from my spatial storage, and held it tight as I stepped through the door. The inside of the cottage was nothing special. The living room was just an empty space with a chair, a table, and several embedded shelves carved into the wall. Many of the shelves contained half-empty bottles of dark liquids, and it didn't take long for my nostrils to pick up the sweet, distinct aroma of wine and alcohol.
"Who's there?"
a slurred voice declared. I flipped around as I held my sword at the ready, and I was met with the bloodshot eyes of a dwarf about 4 feet tall. The man had red, uneven stubble all over his face, and his brown eyes were bloodshot to hell as he stumbled into the room. The dwarf also held a bottle in his hand, and the way he walked told me we weren't dealing with a crazy person. We were dealing with a drunkard. Honestly, I wasn't sure if that complicated things or not.